Welcome to our message from Rington and Lynch Chapels for the 8th of August 2021. You're very welcome. Now, do you know what tithing is? It's the Old Testament instruction to give 10% of your income. It's not like donating or giving, which should also be part of how Jesus guides us over money, but we should understand tithing. Why? Because some churches give weird messages. Some even say you can't be healed unless you tithe. If you're not healed, it's because you haven't tithed faithfully. And can you see what effect that would have upon someone who wants to please God? They give money and they're not healed. So they give more and still not healed. And eventually they get frustrated. I did what the church said and I still haven't experienced what they promised. You simply can't buy healing from God. It's ridiculous and hoodwinks desperate people. Another strange teaching is you can't be blessed unless you tithe. And this confuses people. After all, what does blessed mean? Some might think, if I give 10%, God will make my business successful. Or if I give 10%, God will like me. Blessing can mean different things. And for centuries, tricksters have used it to make people think they can buy blessings from God. And then, of course, when they have bad circumstances, they don't question the teaching. They think it's because they didn't put enough in the slot. I heard a man describe his visit to a South Korean church. The minister preached, "If you haven't tithed enough this month, leave the deeds to your car in the plate. Otherwise, God will be disappointed." That's, frankly, disgusting and manipulative. Another bad teaching is, if you don't give 10%, you are robbing God. You can see this on church posters or the internet. And to justify that, they may quote from Malachi 3. But what Malachi 3 actually says is, bring your offerings and tithes into the storehouse. That simply meant Israel needed to store their grain. Otherwise, things went wrong. The problem is, we take Old Testament passages and use them in the wrong context. For us Christians, we must look at everything, including tithing, in the light of the cross and resurrection. And then we should ask, is tithing for Christians today? If not, why give money at all? Another strange idea is that God will pay you back threefold. Other churches teach tenfold. So if you're going that way, you might as well join the church that says tenfold. You'll get more. But what does that teaching say is the motivation for my giving? It says your motivation is greed. God will give you more. And this is incredibly popular in some circles. You can imagine why. I haven't tried it, but I've heard that if you type 3-month tithing challenge into Google search, you can find over 500 websites. And they nearly all say, if God doesn't pay you back in 90 days, either with money or equivalent blessings, we will return your money. So they're telling God he has 90 days to bless you. But, of course, there's a catch. I mean, who would return to that church 90 days later and say, it didn't work. I want my money back. Imagine their answer. You have been blessed. You just haven't seen it yet. It's wrong, it's manipulative, and not biblical. But what about tithing? It's clearly in the Old Testament. People tithed spices and grain offerings. They tithed a portion of their income to support the temple priests, the Levites. So this was for Israel to give 10% to support one tribe that didn't get any money for their work. But we, Christians, we live under the New Covenant. So what does the New Testament say about tithing? Well, only three gospel passages say anything. Matthew 23, verse 23, and Luke 11, verse 42, both say the same thing. They have Jesus say, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others." Who is this said to? Scribes and Pharisees, Jews, people under the law before the cross. And he says, "Woe to you." Why? He says, "You tithe herbs, various herbs, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others." So notice, Jesus isn't telling Christians to tithe. He's chastising certain Jewish people. Also, Jesus says there are light matters of the law, the tithing of herbs, and weightier matters, that is, justice and mercy and faithfulness. He says, obey all matters of the law. Tithing, then, is of the law. But Christians, clearly, are not under law. We are free from the law, and Christ is the end of the law. And then in the only other gospel passage about tithing, Jesus talks about arrogant people who brag about their tithing. That's our reading. So pause this and read Luke 18, verses 9 to 14. It's part of a larger story, but Luke 18, verses 9 to 14. Okay, now return to verse 11. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So this mentions tithing. The Pharisee said he tithed. But what's the point of the story? Jesus is saying you brag about things like your tithing, yet God's not pleased. So does anything here lead us to believe that Jesus commands Christians like us to tithe? No. The 10% was for Israel, not for the church after the cross. We don't have Levites to support. So, okay, what about the epistles? Do they tell Christians to tithe? Well, here's a quick survey. In Acts, 0. Romans, 0. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 0. Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, James, John, 0. If I wanted Christians to tithe 10%, look at what I've got to work with. Nothing. If those biblical writers wanted Christian congregations to take up a mandated 10%, don't you think it would show up? There's no New Testament evidence. So if we're to give, we need another motivation. But you might say, what about the book of Hebrews? Okay, Hebrews, written to Jews, mentions an Old Testament story about Abraham. He goes to war, he wins and takes their stuff. And on the way home, he meets a foreign king and gives him 10% of his spoils of war. Should we do that? If so, we'd have to go to war, kill, take stuff and dump them on the church lawn. Not right, is it? So why is this story in the Bible? The point is, one of Abraham's descendants, remember he's talking to Jews, was Levi, a priest. All priests had to come from his line. That's why we call Old Testament priests Levites. You could say Levi is in Abraham because one day Levi will come from him. Now Abraham sees this foreign ruler, Melchizedek, and pays respect. Why would Abraham, the forefather of Israelites, pay respect to this foreign ruler giving 10% of his spoils? The book of Hebrews solves the mystery. Melchizedek seems to be a picture of Christ, a foresight, you might say. Because Christ is our priest, not Levi. We have a priest of the new covenant, not the law. And Hebrews says this simply means that the lesser priest, Levi, honoured the greater priest, Christ. Hebrews 7 verses 4 to 10 says, "See how great this man was to whom Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. This man received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. In one case, tithes are received by mortal men, but in the other case, by one of whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say Levi himself, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him." Hebrews' point is that the greater priest, for Christians it's Jesus, blessed the lesser priest, Levi. In other words, this says Jesus is greater than Levi. And from that, Hebrews concludes that the priesthood of Jesus is greater. Therefore, the new covenant is greater than the covenant Levi was under, the old covenant. But nothing here says, therefore, do what Abraham did. Hebrews 7 actually supports Jesus when he says tithing is a matter of law. And that's the whole point. Today, this passage is often twisted and used as fuel for a tithing theology. But if you were a Galatian, had you heard of tithing? No, you're not Jewish. Neither if you're Ephesian, Thessalonian, Corinthian, and so on. In all those letters written to Gentiles like us, no one mentioned tithing. Only Jews used it. Now, some churches today will teach under the old covenant it was 10%, in the new covenant it should be greater. Grace means you give more. And yes, that sounds cool. Perhaps grace means that, but there's no scriptural support for that either. Because you know what that implies if you say it like that. It implies that grace is actually stricter than law, not more freedom, but more strictness. But that's not the gospel. We are meant to give freely from the heart, not compelled. It's up to you and God. If you live from a heart of gratitude and love, with Jesus living within you, you may want to give a lot more than 10%, but it's not a rule. Final point. Some people look at the book of Acts and they say, well, you know, the early Christians sold everything and laid the money at the apostles' feet, so we should give everything. Acts 4 says, there was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. You know, when I was 18, our church visited Bugbrook Chapel in Northamptonshire. Great things were happening. Many young people coming to the Lord. A fantastic atmosphere. And years later, we made another visit. And by then, they had bought two farms, several houses, and an old cinema. People were selling their possessions, giving the money, and then coming to work there. I was tempted to join. Later it turned into the Jesus Army, and I was pleased I hadn't, and that's another story. But in Acts, you see, people get together and put all their money and belongings in a pile and distribute it among them equally. So when a church uses this to say, everything belongs to God, therefore give everything to the church, if they're not then distributing it back to everybody evenly, they're not actually modelling Acts 4. Otherwise it's false teaching and manipulating. The point is, Acts describes people who willingly did that for a purpose, but it's not a rule for all. So to summarise, there's actually no biblical support for Christians tithing. Why then should we give money today to the church? Well, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7 says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. You see, I mustn't be put under pressure to give, not stressed. I'm also not supposed to give grudgingly, saying, oh, I won't give anything. We are meant to find our balance, our motivation that's not pressure or reluctance, and what motivates us to live rightly, the grace of God. What motivates us to give? The same. Same God, same grace, same motivation. Give, he says, as he has decided in his heart. Who decides? You, without pressure or reluctance, find that total liberty inspired by God. For God loves a cheerful giver, says Paul. It's supposed to be fun. It's no fun when someone promises healing or blessing and it doesn't work. It's no fun when you're told that everything below 10% doesn't count. You know, 50% of all Christians give nothing. Average giving is 3%. So all this teaching about tithing isn't working anyway. Many people, browbeaten about giving 10%, now think, if anything less doesn't count, and I can't give 10%, I may as well not give anything. The truth is, and this is what we should hold on to, if you give 10p, 50p, a pound, and it's from your heart, that's what matters. Conversely, if you give £1,000 out of guilt or fear or reluctantly, that's useless. It counts only if it's of Christ. So, why give? Because you want to. Because you're thinking, thank you, Lord. You're so grateful. But there's no rules. That's grace. Amen.